It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by John Devine. John is the chief economist with Cotton Incorporated, headquartered in Cary, North Carolina. John, it's great to see you.
Good to see you, too. Happy New Year.
Yeah, and to you, the 2020 Beltwide Cotton Conference in Austin, Texas. And you've actually been coming to the Beltwide now for a few years. Have you hit double digits yet?
Yep, I just have. Last year was heat reached a double-digit mark, so more than a decade with Cotton Incorporated.
When we talk about the work that you do for Cotton Incorporated, sometimes we might just say, oh, it's looking at prices or whatever. But really, you're involved in a lot of areas when it comes to your work with CI.
Yeah, definitely. And a focus of my work, my position, is the downstream side of the market. So a lot of emphasis on demand, taking a look at what retailers and brands are doing in terms of the decisions they're making, what's going on with cotton share in the market, and what's also going on in terms of aggregate apparel demand, and of course how all of that filters back to the cotton market and what it means for fiber prices.
Just out of curiosity, when we see some demand destruction like we've seen over the last 10 years, how difficult is it to get that back once it's been destroyed, if you will?
Yeah, so it's been a slog. I mean, we certainly took it on the chin in terms of the share component of demand. But one thing that is always in the background is the fact that, you know, the global economy is growing. When the global economy grows, it means more consumers are buying more garments. And even though we haven't really started making a strong recovery in share yet, or maybe seen some green shoots there, but we have seen overall apparel spending increased globally, and that's pulled demand up finally. So we're finally at a point now we're taking a look at mill use on a world level being back to where we were prior to the price spike.
So let's talk about China. It seems like we've been talking about China now for 20 years. Phase one agreement, there are some question marks there, but is this something that could be beneficial for COT?
Certainly. Certainly here in the U.S. So you take a look at the effects of the trade dispute and what it's meant for us in the important Chinese market. It really has meant that we missed the boat on some of the growth that China's had in import demand. So an important feature of the cotton market for the past 10 years has been Chinese reserves. There's a massive buildup after the price spike. More recently, they've been drawing down those reserves. And I think we finally reached a point where China is starting to stabilize its government-controlled supplies. What that means for us, when we compare it with the production deficit that China has, it means that import demand is going to increase. So you take a look at the numbers using round figures. Chinese imports a couple years ago were only around 5 million bales. Take a look at China's production gap, which would be their import need, is closer to 15 million bales. We're taking a look at a tripling of Chinese imports. And last year, when this was the first year when the trade dispute was in effect and when the tariffs were hitting U.S. cotton, we did see U.S. exports to China drop about 30%, but we saw Chinese imports increase 70% from all locations. So what that meant is there's a lot of space for our competitors to pick up market share. Brazil certainly did that. Australia certainly did that. A lot of other smaller exporters also increased their shipments to China in a big way. If we can get this tariffs out of the way, it opens up a lot of room for us. And, of course, that would be helpful for us on the price front.
You talk about competitors, and it reminds me back of the days we heard where cotton farmers in China were actually putting cotton in rooms in their house just to store it. Cotton a little different than some of the other commodities because each bale's identified. Does U.S. cotton have an advantage when it comes to trading globally?
Yes, we have a reputation for quality that's really unmatched around the world. We've got machine-picked cotton, which has some quality advantages, less trash content, particularly lower levels of contamination. Plastic has been a concern for us here recently. It's something we're working on, but our reputation's intact. When I travel to China and meet with mills, they say they would buy more U.S. cotton as the top of their list if they could get access to it.
So you touched on the global mill and just global demand. Has that been a roller coaster ride over the last year?
It has. So, you know, big shifts in expectations on the macroeconomic front. You take a look at forecasts for global economic growth, which tend to correlate pretty strongly with global changes in mill use. And projections that came out just in the spring of 2018 were calling for 2019 to be the strongest growth we would have had globally from a total economic situation that we would have had since the financial crisis. So the strongest growth in a decade or more. when we take a look at reality, what it's brought us, we've actually ended up with the slowest growth that we've had since the financial crisis. And that slowdown in macroeconomic conditions hasn't been helpful for apparel demand, hasn't been helpful for mill-use demand, hasn't been helpful for cotton demand.
You know, I've talked about on the apparel side just the weight of the garments, you know, and how those have slipped. Does a bale of cotton, as far as demand today, really equal what a bale was 10, 20 years ago?
Well, it doesn't. And from the demand situation, that's unfortunate. But if you want to take a look at some of the other metrics that are important to the market right now, such as sustainability, it means that a bale of cotton goes further. So instead of making maybe, you know, 250 pairs of jeans per bale, we're now making 275, pushing maybe 300 pairs of jeans per bale. So there is a flip side to it. There is some silver lining there in that we are stretching the value of our cotton a little bit further. But another good news, too, is that, you know, of course, it did affect demand over the past 7 years, but the bleeding has stopped. We started to see some minor growth in terms of average garment weights. So that, as being a negative or a headwind for the market, has started to dissipate.
Talked about you're in double digits now here at the Beltwide Cotton Conference, and I was adding it up the other day and just thinking back 20 years ago to some of the highlights of a Beltwide Cotton Conference, and a guy by the name of Billy Donovan Jr. who would speak every year. And when he would speak, people would hold cell phones up and the market would move. And I remember in one of his last speeches at the Beltwide, he talked about where we were as far as global ending stocks and real concerns that we were moving into areas we didn't need to move into. Is there still room to grow global cotton acreage? And the second question will be looking at acreage here in the U.S., but globally, is there still the ability to do that?
So we take it new land and the ability for new land to come into cotton, the possibilities are somewhat limited. The one country where there's the possibility for more acres to come in, of course, has been Brazil. They've been ramping up their acres here in recent years. Part of that is due to new land coming in. Part of that is to them double cropping cotton with soybeans. So I say there is some limited potential for new acres to come in globally, but I do think it's somewhat limited. When you want to take a look at cotton production, having to keep up with cotton consumption growth, which we do expect, the world's economy can be expected to continue to grow, we'll need to see yields improve. And that's something, you know, of course, that we'll need to see improve here in the U.S., but also around the world.
So I've already warned you, second question dealing with acreage. Looking back at 2019 and then 2020, what did we see and what could we see?
Yeah, so taking a look back at 2019, big story was that production didn't end up where we thought it was. So we're here at Beltwide last year. Folks are making forecasts of 24 million bales, which would be essentially a record cotton crop for us. Or even numbers floated as much as 26 million bales, which would have been far and beyond the previous record. The reality where we are right now, just around 20 and a half million bales, of course, fell far short of that. And there is some silver lining for that as well. Of course, we wish the producers everything that they can get on the yield front, but having a slightly smaller crop this year prevented prices from collapsing the way that they could have. We saw prices in the mid-50s here this summer due to the fact that we were expecting to just have a 50% increase in stocks. And that was with forecasts from the USDA calling for 22, 23 million bale crop. With forecasts now much lower, we're more neutral situation in terms of stocks. So I think that was a big... The big story in 2019 domestically was the fact that the crop didn't end up being as big as it initially was thought.
And now into 2020, when you start looking at some price forecast, more, less?
Yeah, so you take a look at the outlook for 2020. We have had a survey or two out there regarding acres calling for a ballpark 10% decrease in plantings for 2020. Prices have improved a little bit since then, so I think we probably will see a smaller decrease. Just a simple price model we've got at Cotton Incorporated, predicting a decrease in acres somewhere around 10%. But that's once again factored on prices that weren't quite as favorable as we got right now. I think we could expect decrease in acres probably somewhere between 5-10% this year. So it will be a little bit of a step back for us, but taking a longer-term view, we've taken a couple steps forward. Cotton production has moved over 15 million bales. You take a look at back where we were In 2015, production's up about 50%. That's 50% relative to where we were just a few years ago. So things are taking a downshift a little bit, but we're still up compared to where we have been in the recent past.
Finally here, we've mentioned that you're with Cotton Incorporated, and some producers might not know that there are different organizations doing different things for the cotton industry. For example, when we talk about events like this, or when it comes to the lobbying side, pushing for changes in policy or whatever, that's done through the National Cotton Council. Then we have an organization called the Cotton Board, and we have Cotton Incorporated. Tell us how that works.
Yeah, so just to focus on the Cotton Incorporated side of it, I mean, we're really geared towards, I mean, our mission statement is research and promotion. So we do a lot of research throughout the entire supply chain, dirt to shirt. Of course, we have our ag environmental research division that supports growers across the cotton belt. Beyond that, we have operations set up to improve profitability to make things easier downstream. If we have more meat on the bone for our spinners, it means that they'll be using more cotton. So we do have a whole series of labs at Cotton Incorporated designed to help spinners around the world spin cotton as efficiently as they can. And then, of course, we have all of our marketing efforts. Some of that's focused on a supply chain, working with manufacturers. A lot of that's also geared towards retailers and brands, putting cotton in front of them, delivering the messages that we want to on cotton, certainly the important messages on sustainability. And then, of course, we have our consumer-facing marketing as well, all the commercials you see on TV, also all the efforts that we have increasingly digital right now, trying to keep cotton in front of consumers, reminding them that they need to check those labels because it is important what's in there.
And that money flows to Cotton Incorporated through the Cotton Board, through the checkoff program. And again, different organizations handling different things. But thanks for the work that you do with Cotton Incorporated. Come back and see us again soon.
My pleasure. Anytime.
From the 2020 Beltwide Cotton Conference in Austin, it's John Devine, Chief Economist with Cotton Incorporated, and this is the Agribusiness Report.